The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
An Post is facing an alarming financial situation, according to the Irish Daily Mail, which said that its cash reserves dropped below 1 million euro for the first time. Despite a financial decline, there's expected to be no bailout from the government for the postal company. Minister of State and Independent TD Michael Healy-Ray, who's also a postmaster himself, is advocating for more funding for the postal service. He is on the line, and also in studio with me is Craig Hughes, political editor of the Irish Daily Mail. Good morning and welcome to you both. We'll go to you, Craig, first of all, for the bones of your story. An Post have said to us, look, at the end of the financial year, 2024, December, cash reserves, 38 million, not kind of the 1 million almost bottom of the barrel stuff that you've been writing about in your headline.
Well, of course, we did include that figure in our piece, but the 1 million figure came from Minister for Communications, Patrick Donovan, at the cabinet table yesterday in his oral briefing to ministers on this issue. It was relayed to me as representing quite a stark financial picture for An Post, because it was the first time that the cash reserves had ever dropped below 1 million. And Minister O'Donovan said that had it not been for the exceptional revenue generated through An Post caused by the three elections we had last year, they would have had a substantial loss for the year.
And David McRedmond said that's overstated.
Yeah, and what I would like to say to David McRedmond, actually, because I got contacted by a cabinet minister this morning after his comments on Morning Ireland, if he disputes this fact that it around the cash balances, well, let him publish them today. Let him have clarity on that.
I mean, in normal businesses, when, you know, Ryanair or Bank of Ireland, whoever, they give us their annual report, we get the annual report as of a particular date when the accounts are finalised and audited and so on. That's what we get. And what you get at the end of the year is cash reserves of 38 million, which seems healthy enough.
Yeah, well, then why then was Minister O'Donovan talking about this to the Cabinet yesterday? Because they now have to look at what the future of An Post is going to look like. And that, of course, is very politically sensitive. If you talk about changes to around how that will look. There will be an options paper for Minister O'Donovan, which I'm told will be arriving imminently around this. So, I mean, just to be clear on this.
It's all local.
Okay, but let's stick to the facts, though, for example, here. Let's stick to the facts. The fact that David McRedmond wants to say that, if the revenue didn't come from the exceptional incident of having three elections in 1 year, it would have came from somewhere else. Well, that's farcical. I mean, where was it going to come from? So I just want to be very clear, you know, after his commentary this morning and disputing issues around this, that if he wants to give a full picture of An Post's financial health, we'll let him come out today and publish the data around the cash balances throughout the year.
But what company does that? Yeah. Says, look, we have dips, we've revenue coming in, we've expenses going out. Normally, most companies have an element of borrowing. They do all of that. And it's crystallised at the end of the year. I mean, will Bank of Ireland tell you, oh, my God, in April we were put to the pin of our collar to meet our obligations, but by May we were doing great, thank you very much. They don't do that.
No, because the issue around this is about the future of An Post, and that their existing revenue models are deteriorating. For example, Grant Thornton did a report on this for the Postmasters Union in May, when they were asking for increased money for themselves. And they were highlighting, I think between 2020 and 2023, the revenue they were generating from mail was down 23%. So, I mean, it's quite significant fall-offs. I mean, in their four... Now,
in fairness to David McRedmond, in a recent interview a couple of weeks back, before I went on holiday, I heard him talk about, you know, there may not be a daily postal delivery service for everyone every day going forward, but there will always be a daily postal delivery service, but you might have to pay a premium to make sure that your birthday card or your wedding gift or whatever it is arrives the following day. But you'll certainly have post a couple of times a week.
Yeah, but I mean, that all feeds into the changing nature of An Post and the conversations that will have to be had around what does the future of An Post look like. That's all fine. But it doesn't get away from the current reality that there is a significant difficulty in their current model.
Mm. And I think they probably acknowledge that letter delivery is down. I mean, Why send a letter to communicate some message when you can email?
Yeah, and this is the reality. This is universal.
You can't really email a birthday card. I know there are e-cards, but they're not great. You want to get that birthday card through the letterbox.
Sure, and these are challenges that are being experienced, of course, globally. It isn't just an Irish issue, of course. So that is the challenge. How did they adapt? I heard him talk about that as well briefly on
yeah. The other thing is about the post office network, which is in a sense, he says, on Pussay in a statement they gave us, it's a separate side of the business. And, you know, what the postmasters want, they want continued viability and they've added banking and all of those things. Those kind of decisions, are they truly for on post or are they for government? If government want it, does government have to pay it?
I think there's a kind of a dual track approach there because, you know, they're essentially contractors for on post and they negotiate with on post about their rates per transaction. At the same time, the government is currently giving a subvention of 10 million euro annually to the postmasters. They say it isn't enough. I was talking to Michael Healy-Ray, who's of course on the line, yesterday about this. He thinks it should be the 15 million which they asked for in that bit of research that they put out there. But of course, very difficult for them to negotiate a better long-term deal with on post if they're having these long-term challenges as well. Yeah.
Now, the question, I suppose, is you have to look at what post offices do these days. I mean, some of them are part grocer, part post office. Some of them might be part gift shop. I don't know. I mean, around the country, it'll be very different. Michael will probably tell us a little bit more about that. And therefore, when government decides what they want to do, if the bank is gone and the Centra is gone and the SuperValu is gone, does government decide we need some sort of retail to continue in a town and therefore we're prepared to pay for it? Or should on post have to bear that particular burden?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge. I mean, as someone from rural Ireland, we've seen lots of services being stripped out over the years, whether it was banks, the post office in many cases is the kind of last service that is existing in some communities. And I think it would be very politically unpalatable if there was a wave of closures there. And I know the Postmasters Union were predicting that without getting the 15 million, the increase of 5 million, that you could have up to 400 post office closures around the country imminently.
All right, Michael Healy-Ray, listening to my conversation with Craig Hughes, who's the political editor of the Irish Daily Mail. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. And to you and your listeners, and also to Craig, I'm grateful to him as always for writing an excellent article on this today, because it's giving a very important issue a national spotlight being shone upon it. Because at this time, we have, as you know, on post is a partner of the Department of Social Protection. We have about 900 post offices in operation in Ireland at the moment. But if you go back, for instance, to 2018, we lost 159. Now, this government is listening very closely to what is happening on the ground. We have excellent people like Minister Patrick O'Donovan, but also there's only a couple of postmasters in the Dáil at present, myself and Robert Troy. We have county councillors, of course, through the country, like Tom O'Callaghan in Limerick, who are also postmasters, but we're a rare enough breed at this stage. But we know it from both sides. I know it from going around County Kerry, for example, and looking at and dealing with the small post offices that we have, but they're providing a very invaluable service. But the postmasters will always tell you, and while we're very grateful for the 10 million euros that's been provided by the state, and we are arguing making the point to up that to 15 million, but what is being provided is it's a social service, in that the local post office, you know, working with the people in the local community, it provides an invaluable service. But at the end of the day, what we really, really want in post offices, we don't want handouts. What we want is to be given the tools to make more money for ourselves. In other words, people don't realise this. Post offices only get paid on a per transaction basis. And you see, on post is very unique. We're spoilt in this country in that we have an everyday delivery service of our mail. And I know that in the past, political decisions had to be taken as to whether you'd increase the price of the stamp or whether you'd ensure the continued surety of a daily postal service. I would always contend, both politically and on behalf of the IPU and on behalf of all the post offices, we want to deliver letters every day. I'm so grateful to the people who actually deliver the letters, because they're a point of contact.
But isn't that, Michael, I totally agree that, you know, someone who's maybe ill might not be discovered for days by a neighbour or by a relative, and the post person can be an important early warning, an alert. But the question is, should An Post have to pay for that social service, which is, as you say, a social service rather than a commercial one?
Well, I think the state has an obligation, because it's like everything. If we don't use it, we lose it. People that are listening to this today, I would encourage them, if you're not an active user of your local post office, you should. Because if you go in today, your local post office is just more than stamps and letters and, you know, straightforward things like that. Because it offers a massive range of other services, from banking to passports to saving certificates. And, you know, if you get young people into the habit of going with their parents, with their mom or their dad or their grandparents to the local post office, it becomes part of their lives. And I would ask people today listening to this, is your local post office a part of your life? Do you use it? Because there's no point in crying about the local post office when it's in the local paper that, well, it's shutting down after 40 years. Yeah.
Now, Michael, is a post office on its own, even with banking, foreign exchange, passports, stamps, maybe picking up parcels that have been delivered, and so on and so forth, is that enough for a business these days, or does it need to be really combined with a retail offering?
Yes, a straight answer to a straight question, Pat. And you know, I go in straight lines. You're right. Having a post office on its own, I would debate that it might not be viable. But if it's located, you know, if you're doing some other business, if you're selling fuel, if you're selling bread and milk and butter and sandwiches, and, you know, if you're providing other services, on its own, it is questionable. And I have to admit that. But if you combine it with other services in a community, you can make a living out of your post office. But again, what I would say is, we want the government to recognise that these people, it's not about going with the handout. And the government is listening. I know from the Taoiseach down, and again, people like Minister Patrick O'Donovan, they recognise the value and the importance of our post offices. And I would hope that government, and I know that I'll be working very closely with people like Robert Troy, who's a great advocate and has been for many years for the post offices. And we want to ensure that our post offices will last. But the message has to be, if you don't use it, you will lose it. And there's no point in crying about it. And again, I'm grateful to Craig, because highlighting things like this is so important at this time. And hopefully that we will be able to secure the extra bit of funding to get us over this hurdle, because we've been in this position before. We've faced, you know, a lot of challenges. And like I say, going back there to 2018, we lost an awful lot of post offices. But we want to hold on to what we have now and keep the network intact, because it's like many other businesses and many other services. If you lose it, you won't be able to.
So you'll be a post office opening
if it closes.
You'll be pushing the government to supply that additional funding to keep what is there in place going forward. By the way, just going back to An Post, they proved to be very agile. I mean, they tell us that they have the fastest growing parcel service in Europe. In other words, they transitioned from being primarily delivering letters, which were in decline through email, to delivering parcels, which are in the ascendant because of online ordering. And they were quite agile in doing all of that and going electric in their vehicles and doing all sorts of fairly forward-looking things.
And could I elaborate on that? Because it did take a lot of adjusting, because if you take, we'll say, throughout all the country, the management structures in An Post, they really did have to adapt. And if you take, for instance, everybody was used to seeing the small little post van before. Now those vans have grown, they've got bigger, quite simply because of the fact that there is so much goods being delivered. And our post people, they're the real, real important people, of course. Management is management, but the people on the ground, the men and women who go out every day and who deliver the parcels, they're delivering bulkier, bigger parcels. That brings challenges, but they adapted. And this was a case of, this is what people need, this is what people want, and we're giving them what they want. And the bigger, bulkier packages now make up an awful volume of what actually goes through on post every day.
All right. Anyway, the main thing you're saying is that the story on the front of the Irish Daily Mail, written by Craig, is an important addition to the debate about the future of Unpost and what services it will offer and how they will be paid for. Michael, will you stay with me for a moment? I just want to conclude with Craig about Unpost has been on to tell us that when you're saying he should appear and give all chapter and verse, the 2024 results are on onpost.com/annual results 2024. You can find everything you need there. Yeah, that's what they say.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm happy to... Look, the issue is of such a concern that it's been circulated to cabinet ministers. If they want to come out and say that there's no issue there, well, they can explain to the people why it was so significant that the cabinet has to be warned about it.
Craig Hughes, political editor with the Irish Daily Mail. Thank you very much. Michael, before you go, I want to ask you about the overhaul to the EU Common Agricultural Policy. I mean, the farmers have been out already saying they're expecting bad news, that instead of a dedicated cap budget, there would be one big, bad, beautiful budget from which farmers would have to get whatever was coming to them. What say you?
Oh, I'll tell you exactly what I'd say. We're very fortunate in that, and in particularly next year, in the second half of the year, when Ireland will go into the presidency mode of the EU, we have an excellent person in Minister Martin Hayden, both along with Noel Grealish and Timmy Dooley and myself. We have one aim, and that is what I would say is we'll be fighting to hold on to the envelope that we have in both pillars for keeping farmers' incomes and the supply of funding that we get from the EU to protect that.
Okay, and you don't care whether it's called cap or whether it's called something else, as long as you keep the cash.
It can be called whatever in the name of holy God it likes. Once we can protect the amount that's come in, that is what is...
Oh, we seem to have lost Michael. Anyway, Michael, we get your point. Thank you very much for joining us. That's Michael Healy-Ray, Minister. And Craig, thank you very much both for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.